Hey, Holly.
Hey, Dave.
How are you today on the What Difference Does It Make podcast?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to see your face. Happy to be here. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, thank you. It's raining out, so I wouldn't have you come into the garage. It's safer to stay in the comfort of your own home.
Very thoughtful of you. It is pouring here in Southern California.
So, New Year, meaning back to the old format of looking at a new year. I think we finally, I can't remember what year we finally got it right. Was it 1983, 1984? Looking back at 1983 or 84?
It was probably 84.
Yeah, probably. 84 was like where we have the, we finally got it correct. Or at least that's what we're doing for right now.
Groove.
For this year, for 1986, we're going to count down the K-Rock songs from 106.7 to number one. But first, we look at whatever happened in the year 1986. And what happened for a young Holly Walter in 1986? What was going on there?
Oh, it was, well, we were in college. We were at Cal State Northridge. And I finally decided I wanted to be a radio TV film major. Oh. So I think that's when I started taking the radio classes, and we'd take some TV classes. And it was before I met my husband, which seems like a million years ago since we did meet in college. Watching Brat Pack films, still, you know, with the old group of friends, kind of finding, you know, all sort of finding our way. How about you?
Yeah. Did you have a major yet? Were you majoring in something initially?
I was a psychology major first.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I could see that. Using those psychological tricks on your kids to make them think that they're making their own decisions, but it's really what you want.
Right. Yeah. So good at that. But no, really, I thought you were going to say more in terms of getting into the, when we have guests on the podcast, I always want to know about their personal, like their family dynamics and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's why I do the podcast. I can unload and you can tell me what's going wrong.
Because I'm fully equipped.
There you go. You're my Lucy Van Pelt. Do you know who that is?
Oh, Lucy Van Pelt. I am. The therapist is in.
Yes. 5 cents.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's inflation. We had to account for inflation. So like $7.
God, I don't know. Okay. Maybe. Do you take Venmo? Anyway, every new year, we have a format now that's been in effect for a while where we look at a different year. We like to take a look at it. And we've been doing that since 1980. And where are we now, Holly? What year have we landed on?
So now we're in 1986. Before we start our countdown of the year, we talk about that year in pop culture. So we are going to talk about 1986 in pop culture.
A lot of things happened. And so we're going to look back just to kind of set the table, so to speak. So you can kind of see where we were in the year that was 1986 and what was going on.
So what do you remember from 1986?
I don't remember much. I do remember the music. I don't remember anything from the school. I remember trying to get out.
You did. You successfully got
out. I wanted to leave Northridge. I know that. Yeah, personally, not much. I mean, I was still a blob. I wasn't fully formed, I don't think. I feel like I'm still a blob. Still trying to figure out what I still
want to form. You're a fully formed
organism.
Functioning human.
Okay. I'm trying. I guess that's what I would say is that I'm trying.
You're doing great.
Thank you. Oh, are you going to be my psychologist now and just tell me?
Because I'm going to put on my psychologist hat.
There you go.
Because I had like a whole year of the major?
That's more than I have. I didn't remember a lot from 1986 until I looked back at, did some research and to see what was going on in 1986. And there was a lot going on.
Didn't it spike some memories for you? I mean, you remember the things. I mean, there was a whole lot going on in 1986, as it turns out.
Yeah. What do you got? What's the first on your list?
Okay. As having had one year of psychology, what would it say to you? But if the very first thing I mentioned was Chernobyl.
For the first time ever, the Soviet Union admits it has had a nuclear accident, and it's clearly a major one.
It's almost certainly the most severe accident that has ever taken place in the short history of civilian nuclear power.
There were a couple disasters in 1986.
She was a shitty year for disasters, or a big year for disasters.
Wow. Yeah. Well, yeah, it was the Space Shuttle Challenger. There was no interest in the launch when it happened. I think it was only broadcast on CNN at the time.
Let's go down to the Kennedy Space Center and take a look at Challenger sitting on the pad.
And liftoff of the 25th Space Shuttle mission, and it has cleared the tower.
So the 25th Space Shuttle mission is now on the way after more delays than NASA cares to count. this morning that looked as though they were not going to be able to get off. Looks like a couple of the solid rocket boosters blew away from the side of the shuttle in an explosion.
Flight controllers here looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction.
You saw it just a few moments ago, about 45 seconds after liftoff, a huge fireball in the sky.
We have a report from the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. Flight director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point.
Sure, I watched the launch. I must have watched
it. Did you? You were, okay, because I think there really wasn't that much. I don't remember watching it. I don't remember it being a big deal.
Oh.
I mean, I know it was the teacher, Krista McAuliffe. She was a social studies teacher at Concord High School in New Hampshire.
Oh, I did not remember that.
She was selected from more than 11,000 applicants to the NASA Teacher in Space project and was scheduled to become the first teacher to fly in space. There's been a number of schools that have been named after her. She was awarded the Congressional Space Medal of Honor in 2004. But do you think you were watching it live as it was going on?
You know what? In hindsight, maybe it was footage. Maybe it was just footage from after.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you see it so many times, you feel like you were actually watching it as it happened.
How about we move on to what the top baby names were of 1986? That's something lighter and peppier.
Okay. In 1986. Okay, so those people, those kids that are now, let's see, you know, in their 30s are...
37, close to 40.
Okay.
38.
How many... 38. Okay, so how many... probably Gen Y kids. I guess that's who they would be if they were born in 86. They would be Gen Y.
All right. So what would their names be?
And now their names are, it's always Jacob and Zachary for boys.
No, not on this.
No, list. It is now, but I don't know. So back in the day, so for boys, what?
So for boys, it was some of the usual, David, Matthew, Chris, Michael.
Okay. I don't feel Joshua. Like I know enough Davids anymore. It seemed like it was a dying name for a while.
For girls, Jessica, Ashley, Amanda, Jennifer, and Sarah.
Okay. Those seem like traditional names. So it was also the time that something else was born in 1986. It was a company that made, as a radio TV film major, this was a company that made unique films, not necessarily on film, but digitally.
Who made digital films?
And they released a short in 1986. Pretty prominent now.
I can only think of the Blair Witch Project.
No, that's 99. This is 86. It was a short. The movie is called Luxo Jr. Does that help at all? It was 2 minutes long. It centered around a large object and a small object. One was kind of like the adult and one was the child. These were lamps that were animated. Still nothing. Okay. The lamp plays with a ball. It's kind of like it's almost like a puppy dog bouncing around. And now these lamps signify at the start of every one of these movies, you see this lamp jumping on a ball to form
Pixar.
Pixar. There you go. 1986 is when Pixar started.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I did not know the original. I didn't know how Pixar came into existence. So very interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure you could see it on YouTube. I'm sure it's on Disney Plus. Now you can watch Luxo Jr. Hey, what showed up in 1986 for the first time in a very long time, for the first time in 1910, and will not to be seen again for a very long time?
Halley's Comet.
Yes. Very good.
Hey, good.
Good on you. When is the next time we will see Halley's Comet?
Well, if that was 70 years, is it another 70 years from 1986?
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, it's something like every, I don't know.
So 1986?
So that was 76 years.
2050?
No, it will be July 28th, 2061.
You expect to be around?
I don't. But yeah, that's something to look forward to for those that are still around. Tell your kids.
For those that might be around.
Yeah. In 1986, I got a great tip for you. This stock became available. You should invest in Microsoft. That's when it first became available.
If only I could go back.
I remember back in 1986, if only I knew about Xerox, if I had invested in Xerox, then I would be a
or rich man.
Or Kodak or something. We'll see if Microsoft is still around in 50 some odd years.
I'm saying yes.
You're saying yes. Okay.
And the last downer that I'll mention is that was when the term going postal was coined.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It was a mass shooting. Yeah. When 14 people were killed. He was a postal service employee.
Well, I understand that because of Newman. It's just like, because the mail just keeps coming and coming. It never stops. It never stops.
Let me ask you something. What do you do for a living, Newman?
I'm a United States postal worker.
Aren't those the guys that always go crazy and come back with a gun and shoot everybody?
Sometimes.
Why is that?
Because the mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more, and you've got to get it off. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. And then the barcode reader breaks, and it's public. It's clearing out.
All right.
The mail never stops.
It never stops. And now it has. Do you get excited when the mailman comes anymore?
I know, it's only crap. Nothing good comes
Nothing good comes in the mail. I know, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, I'd like to cancel my mail. I want out permanently.
No one's canceling any mail.
Oh, yes, I am.
Well, what about your bills?
The bank can pay them.
The bank? Mm. And then, well, what about your cards and letters?
Email, telephones, fax machines, FedEx, telex, telegrams, holograms.
All right, it's true. Of course nobody needs mail. What, you think you're so clever figuring out what out?
You know, do you write letters? Have you written a letter to someone?
I always write thank you notes for every, written thank you notes for everything.
Do you?
I do.
Nice.
I always have, yeah. And I just will never get out of the habit because I think it's, but I just like to write them.
What about award shows? Do those interest you?
Award shows interest me.
Okay. You know, as I look at this list, this is from the 1986 Academy Awards for the best movies from 1985.
Right. Okay. So tell me.
So the one.
What won the award?
The award for best film was Out of Africa. William Hurt for Kiss of the Spider Woman. Geraldine Page, The Trip to Bountiful. Donna Meachie for Cocoon. Angelica Houston for Pritzi's Honor. Also nominated that year for best supporting actress was this young up-and-comer named Oprah Winfrey for The Color Purple. Oh, one more thing. 58th Academy Awards in 1986. The winner, I don't know if you'll know. No, you're not going to know this. The best original song from the movie White Nights. It's a song sung by Lionel Richie. There was one other, Separate Lives, that was nominated that did not win. There was The Power of Love, my favorite, Huey Lewis in the News. You know, there was songs from The Color Purple and A Chorus Line. But the winner, also from White Nights, this is by Lionel Richie, Ballad by Lionel.
Wasn't Say You, Say Me.
Yes. Very good. Nice job. Best original song.
My relationship with Lionel Richie is complex.
It's complex because?
I mean, I like the Commodores. But Lionel Richie is obviously a revered songwriter, musician, you know, singer, tons of hits. But his solo music itself, it just didn't appeal to me. I recognize that it's good. And it's good pop music, but it just didn't appeal to me so much.
I gotcha. It appealed to I mean, it was mainstream America. He could write a hit.
And
he had a lot of them.
Yes, he did. Deservedly so. But I've heard his concerts. Have you ever seen him?
Never got to see Lionel. Well, hopefully one day, maybe in Vegas. Let's go see him.
I would actually love to see him because I have heard he puts on such a fabulous live show.
These songs that you don't appreciate, a lot of these songs that we didn't like as 20-year-olds, suddenly as you get older, it's just kind of gets embedded into your DNA.
Yeah.
Yep, you know what? This is a great song. This is an amazing artist.
Say you, say me, say it for always. That's the way it should be. Say you, say me, say it together, naturally. I had a dream, I had an awesome dream. People in the park, playing games in the dark. And what they played was a masquerade.
might have not liked him at the time, but I would 100% see him now. That happens with a lot of artists, I think. Like the ones you didn't like as a kid because you're trying to, you know.
Be cool.
Be cool. Exactly. Lionel was not cool. If you were trying to be cutting edge, you wouldn't say, oh my God, I'm an indie rocker, but you know, I really like Lionel Richie and Phil Collins. They speak to me.
Well, we can say that now.
I'm saying in 1986, if you said, you know, my favorite artists are Lionel Richie and Phil Collins, you would not be thought of as a cutting edge rocker.
No.
No.
Like, that reminds me of Gary Kemp not being able to acknowledge that he liked Pink Floyd when he was a Blitz kid.
Yeah. So I list the movies from 1985 that won awards in 1986. What were the big hits in 1986?
The big hits in 1986? Well, Top Gun was the top grossing movie of 1986.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So how do you feel about that?
I think I liked it at the time. I think I might have liked this new one even better, though.
Mm-hmm.
Maverick. I don't know if it's because of my age or what it was. You know, back then it was kind of like a Lionel Richie album. Like, oh yeah, of course everyone's going to love this. This is, it's a well-crafted movie geared towards my age group. Absolutely. And yes, to the 20-year-olds. And this is something that the kids are going to love. And we did. And I liked it. Yeah. I was probably trying to find my own unique movie experience.
But there's no shame in liking the things that are fed to you if they're good and entertaining.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It was also the year of Crocodile Dundee, which, were you a fan of those?
No, I can tell you, I think it was the first time I saw a woman in a thong bathing suit.
Oh, I did not remember that.
Oh, well, as, 20-year-old, it was like, what is that?
I guess that would be significant.
Women can wear this? So I remember Linda Kozlowski in her bathing suit. That's all I know. And, you know, and Crocodile Dundee had a knife. That was another one that was just kind of a mainstream hit that was like, I don't need to see this.
So that is how we felt, but it was our number two grossing film of 1986.
What else you got? What other films were big?
What about Ferris Bueller? Don't tell me you did not like Ferris Bueller.
No, I love Ferris Bueller. I was all in on that. I loved everything about that.
The 1961 Ferrari 250 GT California. Less than 100 when made. My father spent 3 years restoring this car. It is his love. It is his passion.
It is his fault he didn't lock the garage.
That was a great movie. Guess what became a syndicated show in 1986, speaking of films?
What? 1986.
Speaking of reviews and syndication and determining whether I should see a movie or not, I watched weekly to decide on whether I would give a movie a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Siskel and Ebert?
Siskel and Ebert, yes.
Peggy Sue Got Married. Round Midnight. What do these three films have in common? Well, they all feature music on their soundtrack, but more important, they appear on either Roger or my 10 Best Films of 1986 list, the annual rite of critics nationwide. I'm Gene Siskel of the Chicago Tribune.
And I'm Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times.
Yeah. Siskel and Ebert at the movies.
Came out in syndication September 13th, 1986. Also coming out in syndication, she was nominated for Best Supporting Actress and also came out with a syndication show that became fairly successful.
Oh, Oprah?
Oprah was also came out in syndication.
That's right.
Right, we've come this far and we're absolutely so excited about syndication and about being on your station. But it doesn't work if you don't work with us. So we hope that you won't let up because we're not going to let up.
Now, September the 8th is the premiere date. And of course, if you have any special
promotion. You know, it was a Chicago-based show and then much like Siskel and Ebert was a Chicago-based show and then it went national. How about that? All right. Also, I guess it's kind of worth, we mock it now because it actually happened in 1986. This was a charity event where people across America got together. And what did they do?
Use their hands.
Yes. Hands across America.
What has 12 million eyes, over 50 million fingers, and reaches from the Statue of Liberty all the way to the Pacific Ocean? Hands Across America, a human chain 4,000 miles long, ocean to ocean, coast to coast. It started with the music, and now it's your turn. 6 million people, including some of the leading names in rock and roll, will join hands on May 25th to fight hunger in the United States, and MTV can help put you there. Learn more about Hands Across America. Watch for further developments on MTV.
From New York to Long Beach, people were going to hold hands. And they had enough people. They needed at least 5 million people, it says, to form a human chain. But there were some gaps, and they used various ribbons and ropes and banners so everyone could be together and hold hands as one for 10 minutes.
In harmony.
Yeah. How much did you pay for the right to hold hands with someone?
I did not. Did you?
No.
How much would you pay?
$10. The event raised $15 million. And there were celebrities all over the country that you could possibly hold hands with. Give me a city.
How about Philadelphia?
Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, you could hold hands with Jerry Lewis and Scott Baio.
Chachi.
Yeah.
All right.
Who else? Are you talking Columbus, Ohio? Michael J. Fox is in Columbus.
Oh, good one. Okay. Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland. You would hold hands with David Copperfield.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, here's one. If you're a MASH fan and you went to Toledo, Ohio, who would you hold hands with?
Klinger.
But yeah, Klinger. You're right. It was Klinger, Jamie Farr, Toledo, Ohio. If you were in Cincinnati, man, if you're a Star Wars fan, who would you get to hold hands with?
Mark Hamill.
No. Chewbacca.
These are celebrities of the time, for sure.
Yeah, right? Ooh, in Little Rock, in 1986, you could hold hands with Governor Bill Clinton. How about that?
Wow.
Springfield, Illinois had 50 Abraham Lincoln impersonators. So, quite an event. Anyway, this is what happened. And, oh, by the way, do you know the theme song that we all sang for Hands Across America? Do you remember that big theme song that... You know, much like We Are the World, and like Do They Know It's Christmas? The song's called Hands Across America. So we must learn to love each other. See that man over there? He's my brother. When he laughs, I laugh. When he cries, I cry. When he needs me, I'll be right there by his side. It was played simultaneously on hundreds of radio stations at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, but featured lead vocals by Joe Cersersano and Sandy Farina and the band Toto. The song peaked at number 65 in 1986. We're yapping it up, but the time has come to take a break, and now we will do just that.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Welcome back to the What Difference Does It Make podcast, and we will continue on with our journey back to 1986.
Okay, so now we're moving to TV. There was one commercial that made a debut, and it was just this opening line. It was this line that kind of launched a million parodies.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
That was the first time it was played in 1986. That was Peter Bergman for a Vicks Formula 44 commercial.
And who did he play?
He played a doctor. He wasn't a doctor, but he played one on TV. So I'm going to talk about what is important in your life, what you need. That was in 1986. That was the first time that we heard that phrase.
Who would know? Because people say that every generation says that.
You think your kids would know that?
No, they wouldn't know where it came from.
What a horror. I mean, it's like I've fallen and I can't get up. That's one thing that we're missing now, are catchphrases. You don't hear those anymore.
Where's the beef?
Yeah, where's the beef? Or yeah, so many others. Yeah, like Top Gun. What was the?
I feel the need for speed.
Oh, and the need for speed. Oh, Dan Rather was in the news.
Yeah.
Catchphrases. Tried to do a catchphrase. Courage. He ended his broadcast by saying courage. Didn't really catch on. A month after he was doing this, became the other. This other catchphrase. That, do you know more details of this? I just know that someone accosted him and was asking what something. What did you tell me the story?
I read that it was two men attacked him and they kept repeating, Kenneth, what is the frequency? I don't know why he was attacked. I thought it was random.
Clearly.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so there's your catchphrase.
There is a catchphrase that attracted the attention of Michael Stipe.
Yeah, and wasn't that R.E.M.'s, was it their first number one?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, it was the first song to debut at number one on the modern rock chart.
Oh, very nice. One other catchphrase, sort of. Bill Shatner was on Saturday Night Live, and he did a skit where he was at a Star Trek convention.
Something I wanted to say, I having received all your letters over the years, and I've spoken to many of you, and some of you have traveled, you know, hundreds of miles to be here, I'd just like to say, get a life, will you, people? I mean, for crying out loud, it's just a TV show. I mean, look at you, look at the way you're dressed. You've turned an enjoyable little job that I did as a lark for a few years into a colossal waste of time. I mean, how old are you people? What have you done with yourselves? You must be almost 30. Have you ever kissed a girl?
That's where that originated. I mean, that's it came to the public in.
I don't know. It was taken different. I mean, it could be taken different ways. I think, you know, Shatner did a tongue in cheek, but I think a lot of people are like, yeah, these people are insane.
They're rabid fans.
They are rabid fans, and that is part of their life. That is their life. Nothing wrong with that. One other huge debut that I have to mention that came, that's arrived on the air September 13th, Saturday morning. Theme song sung by Cyndi Lauper.
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
if you are excited, those red have been invited to the Wacky TV Playhouse.
And that was, of course. Yes, very musical. I mean, you know, I got introduced to Charo and Katie Lang and, you know, so many others.
I didn't dislike, I just, it wasn't a go-to for me.
For me, it was the most creative thing I'd seen in ever. It was just, I loved it, really. That's what I probably, like when I saw you, that was probably all about Pee-wee's Playhouse. I'm like, I don't need to deal with this. This guy's cuckoo crazy. A weirdo.
No, I wouldn't have judged you.
I'm sure you were silently judging.
No, certainly not.
Now it's time to get to the radio and the music part. I have my number one albums by our friend Craig of the show. Rosen. Yes.
Our bestie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's autographed and all. Oh. Did you ever see that?
Oh. Yeah. Keep rocking. Thanks, Craig.
He says, Dave, you'll always be number one in my book. Keep rocking. See what he did there?
Do you think he wrote that every time he signed it?
I'm sure he does. So yeah, I've got all the number ones from 1986, all the number one albums. What do you think the year started out with as the number one record?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a very good question. You tell me.
You'll never guess.
Okay. Tell me.
You'll never guess because it's Barbara Streisand, the Broadway album.
You're right. I would not have guessed.
Yeah, but it was what Albert Brooks was listening to.
In Defending Your Life. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. So, yeah, the top five albums to start off the year.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was the Broadway album. Then we had Sade, Promise, was number five. Number four, Scarecrow, John Cougar Mellencamp.
Oh.
Number three, Heart, self-titled. And then number two, the Miami Vice soundtrack.
Makes perfect sense.
It does. Also a number one record, the debut from Whitney Houston. Also a kind of a debut for a band called Van Hagar, 5150. Are you Team Roth or Team Hagar?
That's a really, I'm not making a decision on this one. I like.
Really?
I have an affinity for both.
Yeah, I've always been David Lee.
Oh, see, not a fan of his solo.
Oh, I was never, first off, I loved him. And then, you know, slowly fell apart. In July of 86, it was kind of a debut album. I would kind of put this in the line of, this was at, like, you think of Jagged Little Pill as Alanis's debut album, but it wasn't really. This was not really this woman's solo album, but you would think of it as a debut.
That is not helping. You got to give me a little bit more than that.
Oh, come on. She's taking control of her career here.
Oh, you're right. Janet Jackson.
Yes. This is probably, I didn't realize Patti LaBelle had a number one record. Can you name the song from in 1986 that was the big hit?
Yes. No.
On My Own. Yeah, with Michael McDonald.
On my own. Once again. One more time. By myself. No one said it was easy.
Was number one for 3 weeks.
Was On My Own from a film?
I don't think so. But that was enough to launch her into the top spot. Top Gun soundtrack, of course, was number one. Mm-hmm. Number two was Peter Gabriel's So.
Worthy.
Classic. Yeah. Yep. Still. And number four was Invisible Touch by the band.
By his competitor.
Yeah. His competitor.
His bandmate.
The guy who sounds just like him. Also, reaching number one, True Blue by Madonna. Your favorite, Lionel Richie, Dancing on the Ceiling. Hitting number three during that time in September is Raising Hell by Run DMC. Very exciting time.
It was a good year for them. That was this. They also, 1986 was also Walk This Way.
Swinging with the boys in tune. And the beat's flying up in the air. Swinging, hey, diddle, diddle with the titty in the middle. And you're swinging like you just don't care.
I had bought the cassette the day it came out, the Raising Hell. That was like, I was waiting for this to happen. It was an exciting moment for me. I don't remember the space shuttle disaster, but I do remember hearing Walk This Way for the first time.
As a radio TV film major.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, showing my true colors.
The video for Walk This Way was, I mean, I was enthralled seeing them perform together.
And by the way, also off topic, have you seen on Paramount, they have the soft rock documentary. Ooh. You should watch it. But it's DMC starts it off. Can't remember what the song was. It was some soft rock song. But he's like, it was fucking amazing. You know, that's all they heard were these soft rock songs in the 70s and early 80s. You should watch it. It's kind of, it's cheeseball, but it's fun. Also, I'm sure you love this. These are guys with big hair from Jersey.
Bon Jovi.
Yes. Slippery When Wet.
Of course.
Did you love Bon Jovi? Was that like in 86? I would imagine.
Yes, I liked them enough, but I wasn't like gaga for them the way my best friend Fable was gaga for them. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Because of him. I mean, yeah, he's a, he's a hottie.
He was wanted, dead or alive. He's a cowboy.
Like a cowboy.
He's a steel horse he rides.
Steel horse.
Closed out the year with Bruce Springsteen's live album, 75 to 85, which I bought on CD, first big investment.
Yeah, but that's hours of music.
It was, yeah. That was kind of cool to have Springsteen live as his first official live record on CD. I couldn't play it in my car, but I played it at home.
Not for another few years.
Yeah. So those are the albums. Our friend Craig Rosen and his number one albums. I believe you can pick it up on Amazon if you want.
Yeah, maybe you can even get him to sign it for you, or we can ask him to sign it for you.
Yeah, right.
So we talked about the albums, but also there was the Billboard Year in Hot 100 singles.
What's good?
I have feelings about this. So I'm just going to tell you number 10 to number one. Number 10 was Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love.
Okay, did you like that? Did you look right now, as I look at you, you look like you're dressed as one of the band members, just all in black. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. No, I was into it. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
And you love Love Actually, too. Whenever I see Love Actually, I think of the Robert Palmer video.
I love that movie. Number 9 has been Mr. Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Survivor with Burning Heart.
How about that? I would not have guessed they had. Can you sing Burning Heart?
No.
Okay.
Can I sing anything?
No, I mean, do you know the melody to Burning, when you hear Burning Heart? Do you?
What?
Once I play the melody, I'm like, oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stick in my mind. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. They had more than one top 10 hit.
Oh, yeah. I would not have remembered that this was so high on the chart that year.
But this was, it was starting to, rock was getting a little bit harder. Or, you know, like pop metal was starting to get there. You know, you got your Bon Jovis, got your Survivors. There's like this, guitar's getting a little bit louder. But still melodic. Hair's getting higher. Things are happening. Yeah. Things are happening in 86.
These bands all also were doing their power ballads. You know,
the power ballad was starting up.
Well, okay. So number 7 was Party All the Time.
My girl loves the party all the time.
Eddie Murphy.
Yes. The reason he wasn't part of the We Are the World sessions. He was in the yeah. studio. He was doing his own thing, and so he decided he just wants to.
He just wants to finish his own stuff,
as he should.
Number six was "How Will I Know Whitney Houston."
Love that.
Yeah, me too. Then "Broken Wings," another Mr. Two songs in the top 10, Mr. Yeah. Year End chart.
Welcome to the real world. Or what was the name?
The name of the album.
It was.
Welcome to the real world.
Welcome to the real world. Yeah, welcome to the real world.
Yeah. Then was the number four was the previously mentioned "On My Own" from Patti LaBelle and Michael McDonald.
Yeah.
And then, do you remember this one? I was surprised to find it at number three. "I Miss You" from Climax. That's KLYMAXX.
Yeah.
Do you remember that song?
Yeah, I do. More than Survivor. Okay, so what else you got? What else?
Okay, number two was "Say You, Say Me."
Very good. From the album, from the movie.
From the movie, which you already said. What movie?
White Nights.
That was the Gregory Hines, Mikhail Baryshnikov?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so number one, Madonna.
No. You probably won't guess number one.
Wait, we haven't mentioned the name at all?
No, we have not.
We have not.
You're not going to guess this.
Wait, I do. Cheat. I did do a little bit of research, and it was the number one group for 1986 were the Bengals. Is the Eternal Flame?
Nope.
No, I don't know.
That's what friends are for.
Oh, okay.
See, you want to know.
Clearly, a radio and TV and film major, not.
Not drama or
choir. Not in the performing arts. We were not performing arts people.
Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure, that's what friends are for. For good times and bad times, I'll be on your side.
That was Dion and Friends.
Yeah.
Who the Friends were?
The Friends were Elton. All I can hear is, please help me out here. I
Gladys and Stevie.
Oh, Gladys Knight and Stevie. Okay. Very good.
Wonder, not Nick's.
Right. Okay. So yeah, I have, number one songs for 1986. Let's see if there was any I didn't remember. Oh, Rock Me Amadeus. Falco.
That was actually number one, my birthday week in 1986, when I was turning 21.
That is correct. The top female artist, Madonna, and I mentioned the top group of 1986 were the Bengals. Do you know the number one solo male artist? And I'll even give you the song. I think there are a few of them, but this one was number one. "There'll Be Sad Songs to Make You Cry." Who sang that?
"There'll Be Sad Songs to Make You Cry." Can you sing it? "Sad Songs Say So Much," Elton?
Oh, no. No. "There'll Be Sad Songs," and then in parentheses, "To Make You Cry." Number
Can you
one.
Sing it?
Number one. No. "Get Out of His Dreams and Get Into His Car."
Oh, looks like Billy Ocean?
Yeah. "When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going." "There'll Be Sad Songs." "Love Zone." "Love Is Forever."
Oh, it is Billy Ocean.
It is Billy Ocean. Yeah. And then,
hey, that was pretty good.
Yes. Good job.
"Touch the very heart of me. There'll be sad songs to make you cry. Love songs often do. They can touch the heart of someone new. Saying I love you.
So yeah, Billy Ocean, the number one male artist of 1986. Crazy.
Hmm.
We ended the year walking like an Egyptian.
With the Bangles.
And with the Bangles, the number one band of 1986.
Yeah. So. I'm sure you agree with that assessment. The blonde waitresses take their trays, spin around, and they cross the floor. They've got the moves. Oh, hey, oh. You drop your drink, then they bring you more. All the school kids so sick of books. They like the punk and the metal band. When the buzzer rings, oh, hey, oh. They're walking like an Egyptian. All the kids in the marketplace say, walk like an Egyptian.
In 1986, yeah, I think I was all in on the Bengals.
You were at the front. You were leading the charge.
Yeah, I was in my paisley. Yeah. It's either dressing like I probably look more like Pee Wee Herman than like a paisley underground guy. My little bolo tie or whatever I was wearing.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Is that gonna do it for 1986?
Yeah, I think we covered. Well, anyway, that, I mean, it's just a primer. This was a primer just to kind of get us into what we're going into for this year, 1986, and talking all about it and the songs
we're
and the artists.
Setting the table for 1986.
We are setting the table as we mentioned early in the podcast. And now I guess the table is set. We put on the primer.
I guess we have to have the entree, but I was going to say then dessert starts. And as we start with number 106.7 on the K-Rock chart.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That's what we will be doing next week. We start doing a countdown. Well, happy 1986. Happy New Year.
Happy 1986 and happy 2023 to you.
Happy 2023 to you, too. We do social media stuff. We're getting up to, we almost have like 500 subscribers now on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I know. We're kicking it.
We reached the 1,000 mark on Facebook. We're hitting 500 on YouTube. We're getting, baby steps. We're getting there.
Join us on YouTube. You will find a lot of fun stuff. You'll see concert footage, little short outtakes, and as well as outtakes from some of our shows. So on YouTube, What Difference Does It Make Podcast? And on the rest of social media at WDDIM Podcast.
Who knows what the new year is going to bring? So I'm excited to see what's going to be posted on there.
Well, I hope you enjoy it, Dave.
I hope so, too. I'm sure I will. Hope to be a part of that. New episodes every Friday, so subscribe and get those reminders that we're coming. Here we are. All right. So until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.